A reading from Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you speak through your word today. And we ask now that you would pour your Holy Spirit upon us where we are, that we may hear your word and listen to the things that you want us to hear. In the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. I can remember vividly the day that I was ordained. It was on a crisp, dry, cold Sunday morning in December, and it was a wonderful special occasion with all my family there to join in the joy of what was going on. Being on a Sunday, it kind of meant that I didn't have much else to do that day, and so I was going to start work proper the next day on a Monday. And that always felt quite right, because you know, you start a new job on a Monday. So I said to the guy who was my training incumbent, my rector at the time, "What am I going to do tomorrow?" And he just said to me, "Turn up at the church at 9 o'clock and we'll pray and we'll take it from there." And that was it. So the next day I got up, I got dressed, I put on my brand new crisp blue clergy shirt and my sparkling white collar. I got in the car, I drove down to the church, I got out. And I dare say I slightly swaggered towards the church with the music of Saturday Night Fever going on in my head. Went in the church, said hello to the rector, and sure enough, we did as he promised. We sat down and we prayed. We always start the day with prayer. And then I said to him, "Okay, so what are we doing now?" And I was expecting him to say, "Well, now we're going to go out. Now we're going to visit some people. Now we're going to take communion to some people. Now we're going to have a proper sit down and plan the vision ahead for where we're going as a parish next. Now we're going to take to the streets and tell people of Jesus. We're going to think of some big mission initiative or something like that." But instead he said to me, "We're going over the church hall." "Oh," I said, "what are we doing that for?" He said, "Well, there's a lot of chairs in the church hall and we need to get them from there to here. There's a carol service in the church tonight and they need extra chairs." And so we spent the next at least hour going back and forth from the church hall to the church, carrying as many chairs as we can. And at the end of all, I was exhausted and I wanted to go home. My nice crisp clergy shirt was all sweaty and manky and horrible. And I remember thinking, what on earth have I signed up for? Now, later on that day, because Christmas was coming, the clergy of the area agreed to meet up for lunch. And we went for lunch and I was really nervous because I didn't know anyone. But I found myself sat by all these retired members of clergy. And they were just lovely to me. All these silver-haired fox men sat there telling tales of their time in ministry and wanting to encourage me as I started my ministry. And one of them asked me, "Ah, your first day in the job. What have you done this morning?" And I told him about my lugging of the chairs between the church hall and the church. And all of them just laughed and essentially said the words to me, "Welcome to ministry. This is what it's all about." And I remembered some words that were said by the bishop the day before about how I was called to serve. And I remembered some words that were said to me by a tutor in college once, who asked us all the question collectively as students, "What do you want to be? Do you want to be strong, powerful leaders, or do you want to be humble leaders?" And on that day, everyone said, "Well, can't we be both?" You see, everyone knew that, on paper at least, you should say that you want to be humble and serving. But in practice, people wanted to be powerful as well. And on that morning, I realised that was in me, that desire to be powerful. But I was reminded of the call to serve. And I'm really grateful that I got that opportunity on day one of my ministry. Coming back to the reading from Luke for a moment, Jesus was at the beginning of his ministry. He went into this synagogue in Nazareth, a place which he knew well, a place where he was known by everyone. He took the scroll, as was the custom, and he read these words from the Old Testament, words which set forth what his ministry was all about. And when we think about the words that Jesus decided to read, it is absolutely mind-blowing and spectacular. You see, Jesus could have taken any of the texts from the Old Testament which spoke about who the Messiah was about to be. He could have lauded his own kingship over people. He could have talked about his calling to redeem the world. But instead, he took the opportunity to point out what he was called to do, to serve the captive, to serve the prisoner, to serve those who were disabled, to serve the people in need. From day one, Jesus set out his stall to be the King of Kings, yes, but the servant king. And in doing so, called us to follow in his example, to follow his example in service. Now, I've talked about my beginning of my ministry, and we've heard about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it's very easy to stop here and say, well, here you go, that's lovely for clergy. That's lovely for Jesus even, to say that he came to serve. We know that. But actually, these words aren't just for those who wear shiny new dog collars. These words are for all of us. You see, everyone is called to ministry. Some might be called to ordained ministry, yes, but everyone is called to a form of ministry. It is said, and it is true, that ministry isn't for those who are ordained. Ministry is all for the baptized. Everyone who is baptized is called into ministry, and therefore everyone who is baptized is called to serve. We are called to be a serving people. Jesus set out his stall on day one to be a servant king, and in the 3 years that followed, he did exactly that. He served people wherever he went. He healed people. He blessed people. He helped people. Collections were taken for the poor, and we know that among his disciples, they blessed the poor as well. Jesus served all people. And then, at the accumulation of it all, in his final hours, he demonstrated a wonderful act of service in washing his disciples' feet. The ultimate act of service, a symbolic act for all that he meant. Now, he didn't just get a bucket out and say, let's have your feet and give him a bit of a scrub. Back in those days, feet were absolutely stinking. If you've worn sandals or flip-flops in the summer, you know how dirty the feet can get. Chuck in a load of animal poo and whatever else was going on the streets of Jerusalem that day, and you get the picture of how much of a horrible job it was. The job of cleaning feet was for the most lowly in society, but here Jesus was, the King of Kings, doing it and telling his disciples to go out and do the same, telling us to go out and do the same. And that act of service kept on being fulfilled as later on he was arrested, he was beaten, and he went to the cross. He served all of humanity, all who will ever live, in an act of loving service. Service is at the core of what it is to be a Christian. Service is the essence of what we are, who we are, and who we are meant to be. But there's a bit of a problem in it all, and that is, in the church, sometimes we have a tendency to separate it as a ministry on its own. For just as we may have a prayer ministry team, just as we might have a pastoral team, just as we might have a clergy team, just as we might have a team of people who play in the worship group, so also we have a tendency to have a serving team and a group of designated people who from time to time are called to serve. What we mean by service is doing things like clean the church building, make tea and coffee, wash up after tea and coffee, get there earlier and go later to help and bless people. And here's another thing. In a lot of churches, this is the ministry that people struggle with. And for those who do wrote us, this is the ministry that struggles to get full. Because there's nothing glamorous in making tea and coffee. There's nothing glamorous in serving people. It is just a simple, pure act of love that helps and blesses people. On Maundy Thursday, in a few weeks' time, traditionally, it's the day when people wash feet. In churches, clergy get on their hands and knees and wash the feet of those who attend the church. In days of old, it was a time when monarchs were getting their hands and feet to do the same. And if you've ever seen it happen, it is a very beautiful act. Some people don't like it and are squeamish about it, and that's absolutely fair and fine. But the principle is beautiful. And it's always done in this reflective, beautiful silence as we remember what Jesus himself did. But there's a problem with it as well. And that is that we don't really wash feet these days. We wear shoes. Some of us wear socks. So the washing of feet isn't always that applicable to the real world and the world that we live in now. So the question comes, what is service now? What is washing of feet now? What would Jesus do now if he was alive today? And perhaps, as it's been suggested, Jesus would do these things that the people who love to serve in a church do. Get there early, go home late, make tea, make coffee, wash up, clean up, serve people. When Jesus washed his feet, he demonstrated one thing really important, and that is service is for all people. Service is for all, and it is never meant to be a separate ministry in the church. It is meant to be the core ministry in the church that spreads across all the different ministries. All are equally called to serve, and service shouldn't be set apart. Everyone should have their turn in making tea and coffee. Everyone should help in the washing up. Everyone should be willing to help and serve and bless everyone else. And sometimes when we think about it, maybe we've got to be honest with ourselves and say, we don't always do it, or we fall short. And you know what? In service, there are so many benefits. So many blessings come from serving people. I heard a story once about the wonderful, amazing, gifted evangelist, J. John. And J. John is known throughout the world, and he travels the world preaching. And in his home local church, he once asked God what God wanted from him there. So when he wasn't traveling the world, what did God want him to do there? And God said to him, I want you to make the coffee. And he didn't like this thought, because here he was, an internationally renowned preacher, making the coffee. And so for 2 years in that church, he made the coffee. Got there early, went home late, washed up, made the coffee. But he went on to say that in those 2 years, he met more people than he'd ever met before. He spoke to more people than he'd ever spoken with before. And he saw Jesus at work in a mighty and powerful way. There is power in service, because when we serve, we follow in the steps of Jesus. And when we follow in the steps of Jesus, wonderful things happen. People are blessed. People are healed. God's kingdom grows. God's kingdom moves. You see, service turns the logic of the world upside down. Service takes the whole power dynamics of the world and says, it makes no sense. When we do things in God's way and serves, people take note. You know, we live in a very hierarchical world. Even today, in most offices you go into, you'll always find it's the lowly who end up making the tea and the coffee, and the high-ups and the bosses don't. They have the tea and coffee made. And even though this isn't in the contract, you know, we don't have tea ladies like we had back in the day, it tends to be the way. And they're seen as something weak in serving. But in serving, there is strength. And in serving, there is strength in the name of the Lord. And when we serve, people notice. And when we serve people, people notice. And when we serve people for no other reason than the sheer and utter love for Christ, people take notice. When I was in theological college, on Saturdays for a year, me and a group of friends used to go to the College Green in Bristol, in the city of the centre. And we used to go there because a lot of young people, teenagers mainly, used to hang out. And we went there and gave them tea and coffee and had conversations. I remember one kid saying to one of my mates once, "What on earth are you doing this for?" And he just said, "Because Jesus would. It's an act of love." And you know, more good conversations were had in that place than I've ever known in the years that have come since. Service opens up doors. Service shines the light of Christ. And when the light of Christ is shone, people see it and they want to be part of it. We are called to be a serving people. Now, all of this comes with a little bit of a health warning, and that is we can serve so much that it is our detriment. And actually, we are called to serve, but we're also called to protect ourselves. We're not called to utterly wear our fingers to the bone in service, but do it in the same way that Jesus did. You see, when you look at Jesus as well, he took time for himself, and he took time to spend with his Father. And in doing that, he was able to go out to serve again. Sometimes we think that serving means sacrificing all the other stuff. Service is at the core of all the other stuff. And it falls short if we don't dedicate and spend time with God, and we don't come from that place of rest with the Lord as well. We are called to serve, but we are called to do it wisely, just as Jesus did. And I've got a question for us all today, and that is, what are our thoughts on service? Do we serve? What's stopping us from serving? What's going on when we serve? Are we serving enough? Are we a servant people? Are we a servant church? Are we serving as Jesus did? It's the season of Lent, and Lent is a time for reflection, for looking at ourselves and asking the questions about who we are in the eyes of Jesus. Let's look at ourselves and question our attitude to service. Are we serving? In service comes blessing. In service comes the growing of the kingdom of God. Let's be serving people. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the example of your Son Jesus Christ and his service. We thank you that he served people. We thank you as he journeyed, he served and left us an example of service. And we pray that we would be a serving people. And where we struggle, you would encourage us. Where we need it, you would pour your Holy Spirit upon us. Where we see no benefit of it at all, you would show us how it brings forth your kingdom. Lord God, we pray that we would be a serving people. And draw close to us, we pray, as we go forward into this day and in this week. May we serve you. May we serve our neighbours. And may you bless us as we do. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen.